Hello everyone, Bruce Edwin here with HollywoodSentinel.com, and I'm speaking today back with our friend Vera Mahaj. And Vera, how are you today?
I'm very good, Bruce. How are you?
Excellent. Very well. Thank you. Vera, I've had the pleasure to know you for a while, and you're just an extraordinary person to me. You do so much. You are, of course, the author of Unreported. And Unreported, the tagline, domestic abuse is an unreported crime. Learning to live free is a journey. Vera, tell us, I know we were speaking, we've spoken before about this book, but I really, there's so much more to discuss about it. First of all, how have you been, and what is new with you for our listeners?
What's new with me is I am trying to promote this book to colleges, and without my own efforts, even I realized some universities and schools are using it. And then I'm thinking, okay, I talked to some of these students, and one of the students specifically said, most classes I take, you know, by the end of the semester, you even forgot what the first name was. But she says, I remember the book, I remember you, and I remember what I learned from your book, Unreported, I Can't Forget. So she's like, think about that. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. So I am bringing a lot of good information, and people are using, classes are using my book for teaching the teachers, because this was a counseling course that she was taking, and they're using my book for that. And now I'm talking to Pepperdine, I'm talking to a couple other schools, and as I've told you before, a lot of smaller groups, you know, groups like where the groups for supporting the families and children to get back on their feet, or just getting out of domestic abuse, starting their life. So they're using my book to not only showing them this is domestic abuse and making them aware it's not just anger, it's not just what he does this or that or that. All this combined, there is a bigger name for it, to recognition. Unless you call it domestic abuse, you won't do anything about it, and it is DV. And so that's what my book is teaching, what it is, first of all, the sign.
Well, that's...
And then how to get ready, you know, out of it. So I'm focusing on that right now.
Well, that's great. That's great. And Vera, and for our listeners here, let me back up. Vera is in a... You don't mind, I'll give a quick introduction here. And correct me if I'm wrong, you were born in India, immigrated with your family to the United States when you were what age, 15?
19.
19 years old. So you've lived in the United States, American citizen for years. You got into this relationship, from what I've heard and what I've read, and it was just like kind of a dream to you, just an ideal relationship. But you dealt with abuse, Vera, from what I've read and heard, as a child. And then also it later culminated in this marriage that you had. So you really, you lived through this. Vera, incidentally, is... is a licensed mediator,
right,
and a professional peacemaker. I love that. And pardon me, go ahead.
I'm constantly talking about peacemaking. And just as I told you, I had a mediation call. And that's, even in business, that's what I want them to, people, you know, in business or a personal relationship, keep in mind to be peaceful with yourself. That's like taking care of yourself. And then keeping peace in the situation, in the relationship. So
yes,
you don't want to live in a conflict. You know, that's what I feel like I was able to break the cycle of abuse, because I was constantly thinking of how do I stay in peace, and that was not serving me anymore. I just, no matter how much I tried and I could not have a peaceful situation. You know, I wanted to be peaceful, and the other party just was not doing it. And then if you have tried everything, you've tried everything. And then the other only way is to bring to peace in your life is to stay away from someone. And then that's what you have to do, even though that might be the last call, you know, last resort. But in either way, I think each one of us, we deserve to be loved and we deserve to be peaceful. And at this point in my life, I've had to give up a lot, walk away from a lot of people, but I am happy. I am loving myself.
Well, that's great.
I am grateful.
Well, that's important. Now, I've got a question for you. A lot of people, of course, everyone knows what a lawyer, what an attorney is. Mediation is something kind of unique, and I think something very cool and very important. Tell us a little bit, if you will, kind of what you see as the difference between an attorney versus a mediator, and how your work as a mediator correlates with what you've gone through and how that came about.
Well, again, mediation is a peacemaking, right?
Yes.
And so in mediation, like I said earlier, you're trying to be nice to yourself. You're trying to be peaceful with yourself, with your life. And if the conflict or the abuse from another party is just not letting that happen, you are focusing on being peaceful, not being a victim to anything else. While you're a victim or you're being a perpetrator, either way, you're not at peace. So if you're a perpetrator, you have in your control if you want to fix. Just don't hurt other people, right?
Right.
But if you are a victim, sometimes it's not in your control because you're asking someone else to not hurt you. What you have in your control is to say, no, I'm not going to accept it. So you keep saying no, and you keep shutting it down and keep sending that message very strongly, not in an aggressive way, because then you're being the perpetrator, right?
Mm.
So, but non-aggressive, solid way, I do not accept. I will not talk to you if you don't talk to me nicely.
Yeah.
Right? So they have to, you have to shut it down. Yes, you want this business to work, this relationship to work, but they have to follow or at least respect your boundaries. My boundaries are you cannot be disrespectful to me. That messes up my peacefulness. So if you're loving yourself, you're loving to be peaceful in yourself, you will say no to abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then you are somebody's victim. You are allowing them to make the choice to not hurt you. So your part in it is don't allow it. And sometimes it's going to take longer, sometimes it will be harder, but in the end, you will. And earlier, like your last question, you said, or when you were introducing, that I have been in abuse as a child. So sometimes I say, I'm an expert on abuse. Not only that I can help you navigate how to get out of it, but in a kind of bittersweet way, how did I get here that I can help you navigate? Because I've lived that. So I really understand. If I say I understand, it's not because I read in a book and I have some theories and some stories that I've, you know, read to learn and understand.
Right.
I know how that feels. I know how that, you know, what that dynamic is and what is abuse. As a child, I've survived it as, you know, seeing my mom being abused or my brothers. You know, I was also in that whole dynamic. But mostly one of my older brothers and my mom had the worst of it. And then I got out, I found this wonderful man who I fell in love with, and I married him, and we had a couple of kids. You know, I have two boys from my marriage, and they're wonderful. But what happened was I was in some ways trained to accept abuse or at least live in that. So that dynamic was kind of my normal.
Yeah.
I had that pattern, you know, in my psyche. So when little things started happening in my marriage, I did not set those boundaries right from start. Like recently I met another girl who's like, she flicked like really hard on her forehead and she can't forgive him. She's like, how dare he? How dare he?
Wow. We used to do that to kids in school.
Yeah.
Like back
like when you're, you know, playing, that's different. But when somebody's showing aggression.
Right.
And so that's wrong. That's equivalent to slapping. It hurts. She says, it hurts me. Right? So nobody should be hurting you.
Right.
Nobody taught me. I mean, I'm glad that this woman is taking charge right from the first time and saying no to it. Hopefully they can fix it and he can learn how to not do it and they can come to some agreement. But if not, at least she is saying, no, you will not do this to me ever again.
Well, that's, you know? That's important.
And
that's...
I let it happen. I let it happen for a long time.
Amazing.
And that's how you are giving permission, and it keeps getting worse, and it keeps getting worse.
Exactly. So, now, that leads to two other questions I've got that came to my mind I want to ask you. So how does a person, and I know we've discussed before that it all comes down to, which I feel as well, and I know we agreed, to self-esteem, because if a person has enough self-esteem, they won't necessarily let this abuse happen to them, right?
Right.
But how does, let's say a person wants to be or is what they call forgiving and wants to be a forgiving person. Of course, you know, everyone makes mistakes. How does a person reconcile being forgiving and saying, okay, well, he didn't mean to do this or she didn't mean to do that? Where does one draw the line between forgiveness and giving the person another chance and allowing abuse? Where does one determine that line to be drawn?
Well, forgiving and letting them do it to you again are two different things, right? You can forgive them. That doesn't mean that you hold it against them forever and you can't talk to them and you are going to badmouth them. So that's forgiving if you say, okay, you did that. Stay away from me. You cannot do that to me. I forgive you for doing that. But again, not allowing to happen that to you again and having strong boundaries for you. So those are two different things. You can forgive and still be away from people. So you can just, you don't have to forgive and let them be in your life again if it hurts you. So forgiveness is not just for that person, it's also for you. So you don't carry that pain with you. It's like, okay, I forgive you, I love you from a distance. You know?
Makes sense.
So it's more for moving on with your life. It's not for them only.
Exactly. That makes sense.
You don't hurt them. You're not carrying that anger or hatred around. So it's like you give them, okay, I don't know why you did it, but, you know, that's your problem. Like if somebody is angry and they want to hurt you, it's like, no, go outside and punch a wall, punch a punching bag or whatever.
Yeah.
Get your anger out. I'm not saying you're not angry for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You deal with it. That's your problem. But you cannot come and hurt me for it.
That,
you
know, makes
be
sense.
Be nice to me. Talk to me. I'm angry and maybe I can help you. I'm a mediator. Come on. That's my job.
That makes sense. I love
it. I'm good at it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let you hurt me.
Well, that's good. Now, I want to kind of take this with my next question, perhaps to an extreme. We live in a day, of course, you know, a lot of political division and things of this sort. But there are, you know, and I like to, I work in Hollywood and people have called me a liberal before, and I don't like to label myself, but, you know, let's say a person that is basically just, you know, we've heard the term of a person that just gets so, like the safe space, for example. Okay, I guess that's a new thing in colleges, like certain schools don't allow, you know, they try to stop certain speech. And let's say a person is just feels hurt or abused by language or certain things. Should there be a limit on these things? What do you feel about that? Is there a limit to what one can claim as abuse or not? Or where does that fit in with your work?
Well, freedom of speech is so tricky. People are using it, you know, to just say something. This is freedom of speech. But if it starts hurting you, affecting you, like it's affecting your work, affecting your social life, affecting your influence in the, you know, world, all of a sudden you start calling people names. Like even mediation, we hear about a lot of stuff, but it's confidential. Now if I know about something, or even if it's something personal happened, you know, if you start bad-mouthing other people and affecting their work, their business, their social life,
yes.
You are hurting, and then it's kind of responsibility of that person to prove that it is affecting me legally, to have a case against you.
Sure.
But, yeah, freedom of speech is abused a lot. So, yeah, people don't understand that the word can actually, and some people intentionally do it to hurt people.
Yeah.
And some people, they are just abusing it and say, I can do, say whatever, but it's wrong. I don't think it should be allowed. And there should be some control. And, you know, just like anything else, there should be a courtesy in that too. What I say and take responsibility, it shouldn't be hurting other people. You're free to say what you want to say. My dad, who was in a lot of ways, you know, abuser and not a good person, but he was also a very intelligent, great person, and, you know, had business and all that, a great provider. But yeah. One thing, a couple of things that I just live by, he used to say, I think it was a Gandhi saying, but I first heard from my dad, that you can have a stick and you can twirl it as much as you want. This is your freedom, right?
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't touch anybody else. You can't touch somebody else's nose. So there's your freedom. Enjoy your freedom, but don't hurt somebody.
Yeah.
There should be some courtesy. I mean, freedom is not, I am free, so I'm going to hurt everybody else. That's not the freedom. As long as the stick doesn't hurt anybody else, swing it as much as you want. You know, that's your freedom.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Vera, what do you want to, and I know your time is limited here, so I want to not go take you time too much longer, but Unreported, this book just literally, it blew me away. I was so amazed, and I knew it would be good by just knowing you before I read it, but I was truly surprised at just how powerful it is. What do you want readers
Thank
to
you.
Take? Certainly. What do you want readers and our listeners to take away when they get this book and read it? What is the takeaway you want them to get?
Well, I didn't call my book Dummies for Domestic Abuse, but it is a very handy little book you can have for fine. Or how to get out of it, and more than all that, inspiration. That stories in that book are not just fictional stories. These are compilations of a lot of stories. I interviewed a lot of people, and these are six characters made out of like 50-some people's stories. And these are real people, real stories, who did go through horrible, horrible, abusive times and found courage. And that consistency of saying, no, I can't do it. And then, of course, there's, you know, need some support or some turning point happens when they got out. But they did get out.
Yeah.
They never accepted it. That's the main thing. Not only saying no, but not accepting it, first of all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then saying no to it. And then knowing that I will get out of this. Of course, we all put a lot of effort to make our relationships work. And then you want to make them work, and you hope to make them work. But in the end, the relationships are supposed to serve us, make us feel better, not make us feel horrible and worse and hurt and desperation. So if a relationship you just cannot fix, cannot with all your effort and all your love, if you cannot make it better, then definitely you need to get out and take care of yourself. That's your job, number one. You need to take care of yourself and be happy and be peaceful. We're not here to, you know, there are enough struggles, like I tell people, come from outside to us. Let's not create that for ourselves.
Well, that's true.
Make not to take care of ourselves.
That's very true. That's good advice. Well, I thoroughly love the book, and I think it definitely can help people. The website is unreportedthebook.com, Unreported by Vera Mahajan. It's available on Amazon. It's available in bookstores in Malibu. If it's not at your local bookstore, be sure to ask for it. Tell them to order it. And Vera, any last words or thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, Unreported, the title itself, that's what I want people to know, that domestic abuse is such a global problem and it is mostly unreported. We don't hear it most of the time till somebody died of it or something happened horrible, people end up in the hospital. And we need to start talking about it when it starts. Like, that's why I'm so proud of this girl, that when she's talking about it, and trying to make a decision and trying to find ways how to fix somebody who just flicked her really hard, showing anger. It was not flick out of fun, you know, it's out of anger that he's showing that he can hurt him. So you need to start talking about it. Now I know it, right? She reported to someone.
Yeah.
So if something happens and she has to do something else, she can say, Vera knows, and Vera can support, and Vera can be a witness. I am, you know, I'm at least a witness of knowing that it happened.
Right.
I wasn't there, but somebody needs to know. I'm not just saying go to the police and start reporting everything. But somebody who can you can confide in, somebody needs to know. And least of all, you know, make a note of it. Have a ledger of things that start happening.
Well, yeah.
So things need to be reported to someone.
Well, that's very important. And when you say, you know, just to clarify, this guy flicked this woman on the head, to listeners out there, you know, as I mentioned in grade school, and it sounds funny, but kids and I, you know, we, some of our inner circle of friends, we were kind of, whatever, weird kids, but that was a game. But that can really hurt. I know some kids could flick so hard it would actually bruise, leave a knot on a person's head.
Yeah.
So that could be abuse. For sure, and
but again, it's considered a game. It's a game, but this was not a game.
Exactly.
It was done in anger.
Exactly, Vera. I've met people out on the streets. You know, I've one time we gave out some food to the homeless. I spoke with a woman. I said, why don't you just go to a shelter? She said the shelters, you know, she had been abused. The shelters were filled. She didn't feel safe in there because she got abused in the shelter. So it's such important work what you're doing, trying to catch this before it happens. So thank you for all you do.
Before we go, Bruce, I wanted to just say, just because we're used talking about this little flicking and on the forehead, and I'm bringing it up as the first problem. I'm not saying that it's a big problem, but if she doesn't do anything about it and laughs it out, what she's doing is giving him permission to slap her next time. And if she doesn't do anything then she's giving permission to slap her twice or give her a punch. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
So it's not like flicking itself is a big thing, but it's big enough to not let it happen again or let it grow from anywhere else. She has to do something.
Exactly. And I think actually,
pardon? Unacceptable. Yeah.
Well, it is. And if it's
formally enough to say, yeah.
Right. And if it's too hard, it certainly could be really bad. It's disrespectful.
It could be. But just because, you know, you said kids do it and it's funny, and I don't want people to disregard or think that I'm oversensitive and saying, oh, how dare he flick. It's not the flicking itself. It's what it means if she doesn't do anything. It's the permission you give to do more.
Well, exactly.
That's how abuse gets worse. It's not the first time when somebody says, come and I'm going to slap you around and beat you. It happens. But in domestic abuse, it doesn't really start from there. It starts from yelling, breaking things. If somebody's breaking things in front of you, they're showing you I'm capable of doing more.
Exactly.
You know? And we got to do something.
It's a gradient level. Well, I love what you do. Thank you for all you're doing. And listeners, check out the book. If you, hopefully, listeners, you've not been in a situation like this, but if you have, certainly, or if you know someone who has or could, get this book. It will definitely help you or your loved ones. Unreported by Vera Mahajan. Vera, thank you so much. We'll have a link to your website, and please come back with us soon.
Thank you,
Vera. Please hold the line. I'll be right there. HollywoodSentinel.com, author today, Vera Mahajan, author of Unreported, Domestic Abuse is an Unreported Crime. Learning to Live Free is a Journey. Check it out. We'll be back with you soon. Thank you.